Welcome to the Spiritual Boss Babe podcast. If you're a woman who is ready to step into your power and manifest a life and business that sets your soul on fire, then you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie Bellinger, and I'm a mindset and success coach for spiritual entrepreneurs. I am obsessed with helping my fellow soul sisters shine their light and live out their purpose so they can experience more magic in everyday life. We all have a special purpose here, and we're meant to share our message and gifts with the world. You deserve to be fully supported emotionally, spiritually, and financially from doing your soul's work. Together, we can make a massive impact in the world, and it's time. So let's do this. Hello, my beautiful friend, and welcome back to the podcast, or welcome if it is your first time listening. I am so excited to have you here. In today's episode, I have one of my really good friends and soul sisters, Lauren Eliz Love, aka Lauren of Love on Instagram. And we dive into so many things in this episode, everything from self-healing to plant medicine to blowing up on Instagram and so much more. You're going to get so much out of this episode. Like I said, Lauren is one of my closest girlfriends. We have been through a lot of things together over the last several years. We used to go on these quarterly girls trips, which we're totally due for a reunion soon. And I've seen Lauren's path, a lot of her path over the last few years. I've seen her exponential growth, her transformation, her healing journey. I've witnessed her really come into who she is in such a powerful and beautiful way. It's been so powerful to witness her going from her past business, which was Badass Business Babe, and what she was doing with that, to supporting people on their healing journey and also bringing pieces of the entrepreneurship into her work. It's been incredible to witness. It's been awesome seeing her blow the F up on Instagram in the last year. And I ask her a lot of really powerful questions around that too. So if you are someone who's really ready to take things to the next level with your message and work, this is definitely going to speak to you in a multitude of ways. So a little bit about Lauren. She is a teacher and a spiritual guide for people who are here on the self-healing journey on their path. Her mission and work specializes in helping women heal from shame, guilt, and oppression that creates chronic illness in the body or mental health challenges or financial struggles. Her mission and work started through her own self-healing journey after a spontaneous awakening in 2012 that sent her through a radical initiation of healing her dark night patterns of addiction, abusive relationships, and unworthiness. 8 years later, she left her life to embark on a deep year-long soul quest study in Sedona, Arizona, and completely healed her severe chronic illness condition and lifelong battle with mental health, depression, and anxiety. Lauren later channeled this spiritual healing experience into the step-by-step online transformation program called Heal, which to date has helped more than 150 women have radical self-healing transformations in their bodies, their emotions, and their relationships. I'm excited for you. Be excited. When you listen, tag us on Instagram. You can find Lauren at Lauren of Love, and you can tag me at It's Stephanie Sage. And also be sure to check out the show notes so that you can connect with Lauren and see all the amazing things that she has going on in the world. All right, without further ado, let's welcome Lauren to the show. Before we dive into today's episode, I have a gift that I want to share with you. My Gifts into Gold free mini course. This is a 5-part mini course, absolutely free for you. If you are someone who wants to take your business, your message, your mission to the next level and beyond, this is something that you definitely want to be in on. Inside of Gifts into Gold, I cover so many things from building the confidence to show up in bigger ways with your message, with your work in the online space, to growing an engaged, beautiful community, to receiving even bigger for your beautiful work and your amazing offers and so, so, so much more. This is such a power-packed mini course and I cannot wait for you to dive in. You can find the link in the show notes. Just click it, sign up, and you'll get instant access. I also have something else to invite you in on if you want to dive deeper with me. My Vibe Club membership is open now, and I'm so excited to co-create this with other amazing soul-led leaders on a path of raising the vibration of the planet. Something that I love sharing and supporting people with is elevating their vibrational frequency so that they can be who they came here to be fully and become more magnetic to your desires. Inside of the Vibe Club, it's like an online party where you'll receive monthly tapping activations, amazing trainings and mini courses, a beautiful community of other women just like you who dream just as big as you. You'll receive pop-up live workshops, Q&A, and so much more. And it's a monthly thing that you can jump into right now for just $47 for the first month. I'll leave a link for you in the show notes as well to check that out. All right, let's get into it. Welcome to the show, Lauren. I'm so excited to have you back. It's been a hot minute since you've been on the podcast, and so much has shifted. What?
I was going to say, were we like 12? Like, what has been so long?
I know. I feel like we've both lived lifetimes since you've been on, even though it was probably like, I don't know, 3 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, but it feels like a long time. Like a lot has happened, like you said. Yeah, I feel that deeply. So it's really cool to be back. I'm so excited.
So for those who may not know you, can you share a little bit about like what your mission in the world is, what you're most excited about supporting people with right now?
Yeah. So hello, everybody. So happy to be here. My name is Lauren. I'm the creator of the Lauren of Love brand, right? And my focus as a self-healing teacher and as a spiritual mentor for entrepreneurs as well is to return women to their power and to really hold space to navigate the release of the things that are really not ours to carry, right? That's really the big premise of my work. So whether it's with entrepreneurs and looking at wounds around money and visibility and vulnerability, or if it's just healing journeys in general, right? Just really holding space to allow women the safe container they need to like clear the stuff that has been stopping them.
Beautiful. I feel like I align very much with that with my own work, as you know, and it's so important and powerful to really just be who you came here to be outside of all the things that have happened, all outside of all of the distortions and limitations. And that journey in and of itself is a deep one. I know you've gone through a lot of things over the last few years as you shifted out of, I mean, you had Badass Business Babe was your brand before, then you shifted to Lauren of Love. And I remember like watching that whole process and you were like just going for it and like sharing super vulnerably, like right in the middle of like a lot of things that you were working through. You were healing from your Lyme disease at that time. And like, from my perspective of seeing you, but also knowing you, it just was like, wow, she's really fucking brave, first of all, for just showing up like super vulnerably, like in the midst of the things that you were going through, claiming your new space of like Lauren of Love, like the Heal program and all of that. How was that like for you? Like, was it hard for you to do that? Did you have fear come up like as you were working on your own healing journey and showing up? Like, I think that would be really helpful for people to hear, like, whatever you want to share on that.
Yeah, thank you for holding space, because I feel like, you know, when I look back on my life timeline now, that particular moment of my life was pivotal experience. And so it really just feels like such an honor to be able to talk about it and still presence it because it just made such a difference in my reality. So, and you were a big part of that. We've talked about that too. And yeah. So, my journey, well, I've been an entrepreneur for 10 years now, right? So almost 10 years, my anniversary coming up. And for the first 5 years, I really felt like chasing numbers was the whole point, right? Whether it was how big my Facebook community was, or how many views I got on my website, or how many Instagram followers I had, or my financial celebrations at the end of the month. It felt like my worthiness was very directly tied to that. But what was happening for me at the time was I was playing ignorant to the fact that I had so many deep wounds around worthiness and being enough and validating myself. Like, I didn't know how to do that. So I was projecting it out into my business and kind of creating the storyline in my entrepreneur path that said, nothing you ever do is going to be good enough. Right. And that all kind of came to a head about 5 years ago. When I was at the peak of my career at the time, we were making about $700,000 a year. I had a team of four. I was traveling the world, doing all these really cool things. And inside, I just felt really empty and recognized that the emotional patterns of like depression and anxiety, they just weren't ever going away, no matter how much money I made. Right. And I thought they would. So around that time, chronic illness started to really come into my body. And what started as like a little bit of brain fog and a little bit of headache and joint pain turned into my hair starting to fall out. My eyesight, I wasn't able to drive because my eyesight was so bad. I couldn't walk up flights of stairs or hold grocery bags. And so this chronic illness experience that I was having was leaving me on mattress island in my bed for like 18 hours a day. So that was all of that kind of happening, like big money and big responsibilities and big emotional energies of depression and anxiety. And also, you might be dying. Like, it was like so, it was scary. It was a very scary time. But that was when I made a decision to put my business on hold and pause. A bit badass business, babe, and do a year-long sabbatical, right? To go to Sedona to heal, to study plant medicines. And in that time, that's what you're talking about, where I started to share and talk about the things I had been through and what I was navigating. And in that time period, my business just took a whole new shift because as we grow, our vision of what we want to create grows. But was it hard for me? Was it scary for me? I feel like the piece of it that was like kind of easy, it almost felt like a relief to be able to be like, actually, guys, I'm a fucking hot mess, right? Like, it felt like I was unpacking this storyline of perfection, and just being real felt very liberating. What was very hard was getting the realization that I needed to burn down something that I created because it no longer felt in alignment. And like, girl, people think like the first years of your business are hard, where you're like, will it work? Will it not? I total bullshit. The hardest part is like burning something down that's working, but isn't working. You know what I mean? So that was the terrifying experience of it all. But it was worth it because on the other side, I built everything that I wanted to have. And I've never felt more grounded in my purpose than I do today. So suffice to say, go for it. Burn it down.
Beautiful. I didn't realize you took a whole year off.
Yeah, I took a whole year, and I kept running certain programs that were like I had already filled and had to continue to run, but then I didn't launch anything new. And yeah, and it was just oof. It ended up being like 9.5 months, I think, in total until I started to like return back. But yeah, I think I kind of had this approach of like, when I started my business, I made a year-long promise to myself to try it and give it everything I had for a year. And in this particular moment of my timeline, I had this realization of like, I'm going to be on this earth for what, 60 years, 70 years, 100 years, 80 years. I can give 1 year to myself, you know? And so that was the approach I had. And it really paid off because I feel like I'm a different person than the girl that started that journey. So,
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
you definitely feel like a different person. It feels like it grounded all, like everything grounded and set in a way that is just really beautifully embodied.
Thank you. Yeah, like, I'm still learning. Like, there are definitely things that still come up that need to be integrated that I need to process. But, coming from such a serious amount of trauma in my past, like, you can't ignore those things, right? If you walk around life ignoring the things you've been through and you chalk it up to, like, oh, well, bad things happen and move on. Like, no, but when you say that, they come back, and it was coming back for me and my mental health and my physical health and, taking radical responsibility of that and making that more important than my bank account really actually led to the wealth that I wanted in the first place. So,
Full circle moment. So, was your first time in Sedona when we went on the girls' trip?
No, so I actually, yeah, so I had a spiritual awakening in Sedona in 2012, and that was what led me to want to quit my job and start a business and all of that. And then Matt and I actually got married there years later because it was so special to us. So Sedona always has such a dear place in my heart. And the medicine carriers I had the honor of working with there, all the ceremonies we held, all the work I did on that land, like really just such a special place. I feel like everybody should go to Sedona at one point in there, but you got to be ready for it because it surprises you for sure.
Totally. So what did you do on your year off, like for your healing journey? Because, I'm assuming that a lot of the work that you've done during that process is a lot of what you share and teach in your program.
So I didn't really know, like, I didn't know what I was going there for. It was very much like a calling that because I wasn't getting answers in the Western medical world, right? I was going to all these doctors and telling them what was going on with my body and was even referred to psychiatrists being like, well, it's all in your head, like your blood work is fine. But when I got the diagnosis of Lyme and Babesia, Borrelia, and anaplasmosis, which were all the co-infections of Lyme disease, I tried the like just work on the body approach, right? The body is sick, just work on the body. But what I realized was that supplement regimens and detox protocols and EFT tapping and, trying to regulate the nervous system, none of that was actually really working because I was carrying this energy of repressed, suppressed, and unintegrated trauma in my body from what I had been through in my life that I had been ignoring. And so when I went to Sedona, I had originally went there because I had found combo practitioners, right? There were combo practitioners in the area. I love combo medicine. And I was really feeling a call to continue to study that medicine for its purgative effects and like clearing energy out of your body. Because I felt like there was this thing in me, just like this frequency that wasn't mine, that was very trapped. And so my time in Sedona was like drum circles and sound healing sessions and acupuncturists and breath work practices and lots of ayahuasca, lots of combo, lots of I did a Hapé initiation, which was huge. Bufo, right? I just studied all the medicines of the wheelhouse that were really calling me. And it was a lot, it was a lot of medicine. It was a lot of work. But yeah, I'm just so grateful to the plants and to the amphibian medicines because they really changed my life, like truly. And they continue to do so, right? Like I continue to work with these medicines, go to study in Peru now. I do that once a year. Continue to sit with ayahuasca. They're tr yeah, it's truly profound. But what happened for me in that time, everything in my life changed. And then one ceremony, one of my last ceremonies there, I asked the medicine, said, can you like show me what this process was that you just walked me through this last year? Like, I want to know, like, what did we just do? What was all this? And like, clearly, this channel came in of like, step one, we did this, step two, we did that, step three. And then that became the foundation of the HEAL program, which doesn't include psychedelics, okay, FYI, but it is the process that I walked through in my time in Sedona. So, yeah, that's a really special component of the work that I'm just so proud of, because it's like sometimes we're in our heads of like, how do I design a course and what should it be about? And really, ultimately, it's like your life is your medicine and the experiences you have are what you are meant to share with the world. And that is so apparent in how I've experienced it in my own life.
It's such a so true and such a powerful reminder, and it's doesn't need to be hard. It's literally the embodiment of our journey. Like if you're a coach or a facilitator of transformation, guiding other people, just look at your own journey and how you've guided yourself or how you've been guided.
Yeah, and your only responsibility is to have the awareness to capture that and to translate that, right? Like, I firmly believe when it comes to plant medicine specifically, there are so many people who sit with plant medicine and they get this download. They're like meant to serve. I'm meant to serve ayahuasca. She told me, right?
A
But
lot of
no,
people experience that in the beginning.
they do. But really, actually, like from my perspective, it's like, no, what she's saying is you're meant to be the medicine. You're meant to carry this frequency out into the world and be her, walk as her, serve as her. So, yeah, it's like course creation doesn't have to be so complicated. And oftentimes the expertise are just the life experiences that we've had that create our mastery that we're meant to share. So I think that's important to say too. It's like simple.
So true. It's been really cool seeing your medicine path too. I remember the very beginning of that.
I would love one day, I got a deep prayer in my heart, Steph, that one day you and I can sit in a ceremony again, because it's like, yeah, it's just different now, you know, like the medicine strengthens you and really creates this firmness within your body that just radiates into your life, right? Like it's a study of boundaries, really, when you go into realms like that. So yeah, but my medicine path has been very interesting, because it has not been something that I wanted, or to the idea of facilitating was never something that I desired within myself. So the fact that it has been presencing and showing its way to me, just in the organic unfolding of my life, I think has been really cool too. And that's why I say to people, like, you know, when it comes to serving medicines, like be careful about your ego a little bit, like be mindful, right? Because a lot of people want to serve medicine from this place of like being a medicine person, like, oh, how cool is that? But it's an immense responsibility and an intense initiation, and it's challenging. And to be humble is just really important.
What would you say to people who are new to the medicine space?
Like if they're about to sit for the first time. Yeah, it's a good one. Like you're new to the medicine. You know, I think it's my big passion, and what's really a deep prayer in my heart is that people have safe spaces. And I think with everything coming online, right, all these medicines are coming online right now in the States so prevalently. We have to most importantly be educated about what a safe space even is. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't know. They hear that there's an opportunity and they want to jump into it. So for me personally, safe space is knowing the background and study of your facilitator, asking questions about where the medicine comes from, making sure it's coming from an authentic, sacred place of blessing, making sure the people you're working with have training or permission to serve from the indigenous lines. I think that's really very important. And that affects the space so deeply. And for those of the community that are like just coming to plant medicine, hold your prayer, you know, hold your prayer. It's like these medicines are here to teach us how to pray. And the more you can cultivate that in your life in preparation for your first sit, the more effective and profound your sit will be. But also be, you know, be detached, because these things sometimes for people happen in layers. It's not just, I drank ayahuasca and now I'm a goddess. You know, like it doesn't happen like that. So be patient with yourself and know that you always get what you need.
Yeah, that's great. That's like great advice. I have my whole life has transformed as well from plant medicine and psychedelics, as you know. And back in the day, well, it feels back in the day. And there's been a lot of layers for me even throughout too, of different things that I wasn't, I guess, ready to process or heal at certain points that came up much later on my journey once I got more familiar. But I'm a very big advocate on the same. It's so powerful, but it's also not for everybody. Like, it calls to you when it calls to you.
And that's the thing too. Like, I think medicines call in different ways. Like, I remember you called me to the mushrooms because I was having all those mental health challenges. And then they led me to ayahuasca. And then ayahuasca led me to combo. And then combo led me to bufo. And not everybody's timeline is going to look that way, right? Like, it's everybody has their own relationship with these medicines. So you have to trust what's calling you. I have a class inside of my course portal called Plant Medicine 101 that I teach, like, how to know what medicine is right for you. Because just because something's popular and everyone's talking about it doesn't mean that it's necessarily the right medicine for you, right? Like, each of these medicines have different spirits and different intentions. So it's important to know what those are so that you can make the right decision about what's most supportive for you. Like, people with narcissism, for example, should not be sitting with bufo, right? That's a very dangerous combination. So there's just like weird things that you want to be mindful of to prepare that can be helpful. People who have depression or anxiety, different medicines, right? Like, it's gonna matter. So we have to be mindful of that.
Yeah, mushrooms are my fave.
I know you're the mushroom mama
I'm a
always.
mushroom.
You're the mushroom. I'm a
I am a
mushroom.
mushroom.
Oh, ayahuasca is my center altered medicine. And yeah, I thought about like getting trained to facilitate bufo, but I'm kind of in a place where like it's ayahuasca is just like here, and you don't have to always chase. It's like people, even in business development, they're like, oh, I'm gonna get this program and I'm gonna get this certification and I'm gonna do, look all the things I can do. But no, actually, like, there's a lot of power in like picking one modality and just really being a master and rooting down with that. I think that goes a long way.
So true. I'm excited to do another Aya sit. It's been a while for me for traditional. It's been like maybe 3 years. So I'll let you know when I'm
Whoa,
ready.
girl. Okay, let's talk. Let's talk.
Yeah. No, I'm excited for the next time I do. I haven't felt called, so I didn't like, but I do love my mushrooms. I get a lot done with them. Girl, you don't know, like my whole channel, everything like over the last few years, so many shifts.
Know. Well, I've watched you, right? And to be devoted to the prayer of your relationship to that medicine, like, it just reflects in the work that I see you doing and showing up with. And like, that's the other thing too. Like, if you are studying medicines, you can attest to this. Like, your mission is going to shift. Your purpose is going to become more clear because in letting go of all that other stuff that's not yours, you see more clearly, right? And so, yeah, purposes change.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. It's so true. So my whole brand, well, Spiritual Boss Babe in the beginning, basically was inspired from mushrooms and plant medicine, like the whole, the things that I've learned throughout and the things that I teach throughout. And it definitely has expanded as I've opened my channel more, as I've, become more embodied and matured in who I am and integrating all the things. Like I'm recently going through a shift, like how you went before, well, different, but, similar, where I just recently changed my Instagram handle.
I know, I
And
love it.
thanks. I may or may not be shifting the podcast, but it might be a thing.
Well, look, we have to give ourselves permission to change. Can we just like,
It was scary though.
it is
I made
scary.
such a big deal about my name change and Instagram handle. It was fucking ridiculous. People were like, "When are you gonna tell us already, Steph?" I put like I teased it for like a month because I was nervous.
Get you. I get you. It's hard. It's hard. With all these changes, it's like, I think as an entrepreneur for me personally, like, there was this very long season of my path where like making big changes felt immense, right? Because things were already technically kind of rooted. So when you make a big change, it's like if I had like a beautiful plant in a pot And I was like, all right, I'm going to change the pot, but it's like so big and there's nothing wrong with it and it's okay. But I want to change the pot, but I don't know if it's going to survive when I make the change. And like, it's that the plant is already grown. So it brings in this fear of loss. And I think that's just a very common thing that all entrepreneurs face. But then you do it and then you're like, oh, it's good.
Yeah, I felt so liberated from that one
Yeah, I
moment.
love it.
So let's shift gears a little bit because I know that you've been wanting to talk about this, and I've been wanting to ask you because I think it's so freaking exciting to watch. You have been blowing the fuck up on Instagram in the last like few months, and my little baby, you've been blowing up on Instagram over the last few months, and it's almost like you've reached this tipping point where it's like it's time. It's blow up season. It's blow up season. I always say that to my
Yeah,
clients and
it
everything.
is.
I'm like, yo, it's blow up season. So you're in your blow up season, and it's
Yeah.
so cool to watch. What are you doing? What's it been like? I'm gonna have more questions as we flow because, like, maybe share in your words, like, what exactly has happened.
Yeah, what has happened? I think that in any particular conversation, when you're talking to somebody who has made something work, it's never one thing that makes it work. You know, like it's never like, oh, I just did this one thing and then suddenly everything was great. No, it was like a series of little things and a combination, a recipe that made an effective outcome. And so for me, Instagram, there were a few things I did logistically. So first of all, I had this story in my head where I would go on my Instagram. I remember this. I would open up my phone, and before I even got into my Instagram account, I was already rolling my eyes in annoyance of the number of followers I had. And that was like a routine thing that I would do where I would open my account, refresh my page, and go, ugh, still stuck. Oh my gosh, I lost 100 followers. Oh my God, I only got two more, right? Like it was just this game of like real annoyance on my account. And as I had changed direction over the years and shifting out of more of a masculine approach of business babe and then rebranding into Lauren of Love, the things I was talking about were radically different. Like I went from talking about marketing strategies and email opt-ins and good graphics and more of like the strategic components of entrepreneurship to then talking about chronic illness, repressed trauma, fear of failure, and the more emotional components of entrepreneurship. And my engagement around all of that was just really reflecting a lot of frustration to me because I was trying to talk to people who were there for the old me and weren't necessarily there for this evolved message that I was holding in my heart. And because I felt that, what awareness, I guess you could say, what was happening was that anytime I created content or went to go share something, I automatically had a belief that nobody was going to engage, nobody was going to like my message, no one was going to be interested. And so what I did was I made a decision to remove all of the dead followers on my account. And so I hired this Instagram doctor. I teach this in my IG code course where like you clear out all the negative energy, right? And so this IG doctor, he did a data report and he's like, well, based on like the 30,000 followers you have, probably 33% of them are not engaging in your work anymore. And what do you want to do? And so we made the decision to just clear them. And so slowly over time, I was energetically cutting cords with this old identity, right? And saying, okay, you don't want my message. It's okay. Bye. Right. Like I can let that go. And that shedding process was very scary for me because we're all attached in this numerical game of Instagram data. We're all attached to the numbers. We love seeing how many real views we get. We love how many comments we get and likes. It's like this really twisted warp game that we really allow to affect our worthiness. Right. And here I was going like, fuck you, I actually don't care about that anymore. Right. And so I was in a healing journey of really deading that old storyline that like numbers defined my worth and saying, actually, I don't care. And at the same time, I was deciding to step into my power more And I had a group of friends in Sedona. This is all happening all at once, cocktail. Group of friends in Sedona, they go, we don't actually want to be friends with you anymore.
Oh, wow.
And they completely deaded me and blocked me and shut me out.
Was there a
And
reason for that? Like,
it was a complicated reason. There was a ceremony that went a little bit haywire, and I felt really confused, and I made a desired attempt to talk to the facilitator, but in the energy we were in, it wasn't clear. And it was really truthfully a lot of miscommunication, but these people that I loved didn't want to clear that. They wanted nothing to do with me because it was easier to blame me than to have a difficult conversation. Right. And so I'm deading Instagram followers. I'm deciding to step more deeply into my power. And now I have these people who I cared so deeply what they thought of me telling me, no, I actually don't want you in my life. And it was like all these things happening where I realized like I was intrinsically still attached to external validation. And these were all the cords being mirrored to me of like cutting that out and being like, none of that matters. And when none of that mattered, I felt like I could really truly stand in my power and act powerful and be powerful and feel like it was safe. Right. And that was when my content started to change and I started to strengthen. And then there were some other strategic things I did with social media too, which we could totally talk about. But really, actually, what I realized in all of this at its core was that this was all a spiritual game. Instagram is a spiritual game.
It all
And
is
like
an energy game for sure.
it's all a spiritual game. And if you have shit and you have stories or leaky energy, like I noticed when I was like hate stalking someone and I was like, ugh, look, they have so many followers and I don't like them, whatever. Like my algorithm would go down. Like it would be like, like just affected by my frequency that I was pouring in. So in the last like 6 months, we're crossing 200,000 Instagram followers now, which is really
And
incredible.
where were you like literally like 2, 3 months ago?
I don't know where I was 2 or 3 months ago, but I would say in May or in like April of last year, I had like 20,000. So in like
Nine.
the last 6 months, we've gotten about 180,000 new followers and it's
That's
all
awesome.
organic. I'm not boosting anything. I'm not doing anything trippy or weird. No follow unfollow method. It's all clean. And it's through organic strategy that I teach in IG Code, but of course we could talk about it here. It's fun. It's really when you figure out what works, oh, it feels so good.
So, I would love to hear some of your IG codes. I'm sure people listening would love to hear it too. Like, what are some of the things that helped you dial up the potency of it? I love geeking out on this stuff too.
Yeah, me too.
I always say like your energy is the algorithm, and I also really love content creation, and I love testing things out and seeing what
Me
works and
too.
seeing what feels good. It's something that I geek the fuck out on. So I
It's
love that we could
so
talk about
fun.
this.
Well, because you're an artist, right? And so that's part of it. It's like you love to create art, and Instagram can be that canvas,
Yeah,
truly.
it can be, and it is, and it's, and I think that for those listening, like creating content and putting yourself out there, it can feel like a really fun, creative, expressive, in and intentional thing that can be fun. It doesn't need to be like this daunting thing. So what are some of your codes of like how you dialed up the potency of it? Like how, or I guess like what is your thought process of creating like wildly shareable content? Because I know that's probably a big
Yes.
part of what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything
That's
that you
huge.
want to share?
100%. Yeah, so I could talk about this topic for hours with you because it's so fun to me. A lot of people, I have a mastermind I run called Conscious Creator. I think you have a mastermind too, right? You run a mastermind? You were, yeah. So, people come to you and they're like, how do I get where you are and all these things? And we were talking about content. And I was like, guys, everybody wants to be a really good content creator, but what you actually really have to be is a really good listener. And like it's really important because for some people, data and numbers is just this energy, like we said, of like lack of worth. But really, actually, if we listen to the data and we look for the clues and we listen to the little signs from the universe, like for example, last week I got about four different messages from people on a reel I did that showed my bookcase, and the messages were, "Hey, can you recommend a book for me?" And I was like, "You know what? I'm going to create an opt-in that's like in my free library, and it's like 60 plus self-help books all organized by topic," right? Amazing. Right? And that happened because I was listening. I was listening to what my community wanted. So it's really important that as we create with like a focused mind and a clear intention, that we pay attention to what is actually being responded to, because that's the sign from the universe. That's the next breadcrumb. So, for example, when I did a reel, I saw this reel on Instagram, and it was something like the children who blah 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 are now the mothers who like blah blah blah. I don't know. And I saw this reel and I immediately thought, whoa, the girls who grew up with trauma and felt not good enough are now the light leaders healing the planet, right? Like that's, I t saw a piece of content that was performing well, and I looked at it and said, how does this translate to my message? How can I take that and flip it on its head and put it into my world? And that reel went viral. I think that particular reel got like 2.3 million views or something.
Wow.
And yeah, and so I knew two things from that experience. I knew that my community really resonates with the concept of trauma, and my community really resonates with the concept of light leading. And so, what can I continue to create listening to that from those pieces of information, right? And so, this is how I started to create content rather than waking up every day and saying, what am I going to create? I would open my account, look for clues, and create from those clues. And so ultimately, what started to happen is that my Instagram, some call it the algorithm, some call it search engine optimization, because Instagram now does have a component of search engine optimization embedded in its codes. Now it's like my Instagram is very much related to a thematic topic of trauma and light leading work, right? And so now, because I have all this content on this one particular topic, now I'm getting on the explore page for my work. Now people are seeing my work because it's rooted. It's not sporadic in all these different places. It's rooted on a theme. And so that was really helpful for me. In terms of creating like shareable content, what I found to be true is that if you're not reading your own content and going, fuck yes, nobody else is going to, right? Like, no one else is going to. So I started to create content to empower myself, like in this really weird way. I was like, what do I need to hear right now? Like, and I would literally write things on these quotes that I would share, and then those quotes would go viral, but they were all rooted in giving myself the medicine that I really needed that day. So, I wrote this post about boundaries, right? And it's like, this year I'm setting my boundaries, raising my standards, and not tolerating less than what, something so simple, but it was my energy was in that place. And so I shared that. And then other people who were in that frequency shared it too, right? And so it's that fuck yes energy that's really important when it comes to shareable content that makes a difference.
Yeah, I love creating spicy stuff and just, yeah, that's awesome.
And that too, like spicy content, you know what I realized? Like you're having me think about something. So a couple of months ago, this is an interesting story. You ready for this one?
Yes.
A couple of months ago, this girl decided that she wanted to create a hate account for me.
Oh, wow. I was
She's
going to
gonna
ask
hate
you if there's been any, like, an
me.
influx in that since you.
Yeah. She wanted to create a hate account for me, and she wanted to express that every single thing that I was creating was privileged because I wasn't talking about the wars that were going on in the world. And so anything I said, if I wasn't creating content to speak to the wars going on in the world, she would take my content and say, look at this spiritual light leader. She claims to be all love and light, but she's tailoring only to the middle class. And like for the record, like my programs are super accessible. Like I have like $9 courses on my website, right? Like I believe in accessibility, but my message isn't for everybody, right? It's very specific. It's for self-healers and businesswomen. So anyway, so she did that. And I realized that like as you grow and as you expand and as you start to show up, the parts of your shadow that are still like needing to be looked at are gonna kind of come up, you know? And there was this like little part of me as I was growing and getting big very quickly, what that was saying, like, I don't know, like I don't know, like what if you say something wrong? What if somebody has something to say about you? And I felt like there was, when that happened, this very deep awareness in me of like, I don't need everybody to like me, and I don't need everybody to agree with me, and I don't need to convince somebody that I'm wonderful and amazing. Like, that's not my role in this reality, to convince others of my worth. So that was a really beautiful rewrite. And when I talk about healing journeys, there's this law that I believe exists in the 12 universal laws of self-healing called the law of rewrites, where anything that you experience that comes up that's like triggering those wounds, you have an opportunity to rewrite an old trauma. And that was that for me. It was like, no, I don't have to. I don't gotta give this any energy. And so I just blocked her, and that was it. And yeah, it's like I think if you're afraid of things, that's okay. But if you're afraid of things and you're avoiding them, that's not okay. Right. And so we have to be able to say that, like, I am afraid of rejection, but if it comes up, I'm going to face it with strength, and I'm going to face it with resilience. And having that permission in yourself is very important to create the safe container for growth.
That's so true. And I think the fear of rejection is like the main thing that comes up for, I mean, it's at the core of what keeps people from being seen. I actually talk a lot about this in Star Power and like working through that, because it whether people realize it or not, it comes back to that usually. It's that
Always.
fear that people are gonna judge you, they're gonna think that you're too salesy if you sell your stuff, or your mom's gonna think this, or your second freaking cousin who sees your shit that you haven't talked to in like 10 years is gonna see that. And it's just
Yep,
like
it's
it
true.
always comes back to that core wound, and having an awareness around that. And I love how you said the rewrite is just so important, so that you don't let it take over and keep you from actually shining.
100%. It's like, why is this coming up? Is this coming up because I'm supposed to go cry in a corner and like loop back down into my storylines and play small and cancel my Instagram account and like go back to a job?
Your
Or
post.
is it like, this is coming up because it's an invitation into choosing a different perspective around something that I have been carrying my entire life? And when we see that, it's safe to actually have these challenges, because we know that every challenge that comes to us is actually an invitation into more wealth and into more power and into more abundance, because we see it that way. It's like, oh, here's the rewrite, doors opening. Are you going to step into that? Or are you going to play the same story? You know what I mean?
Was it easy for you to rewrite things always, or like what was your journey with that?
No, it wasn't. I think for a long time, like before discovering the universal laws of self-healing and like having that approach to how I see reality and how I work in my own process, I think when these things came up, it was like a here it is again, this sucks kind of energy, right? Like, why am I always getting knocked down? Why?
Definitely been
Yeah.
there. I
Why
thought I
is this
worked through this before.
happening? Yeah, I worked through this before. Why is it coming up? Like, oh, it's so frustrating. You know, I realized like even in relationship to money, like the pattern that I have just willingly accepted for myself is recognizing that anytime there is financial resistance, there's always a huge breakthrough that is bigger than anything I've had before on the other side. And I've accepted that now. So now the conversation isn't about how do I avoid that? It's how do I hold myself and regulate myself in that process? And so in the past, to answer your question, no, I did not handle it well. I was dysregulated. I was stressed. I went into victim consciousness. I suffered. I played it out. I dramatized it more than it ever could be. And then I did it all over again. And then at one point, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I had this new perspective that allowed things to be easier. And it gets easier and easier and easier the more you do it. So, yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. And it's so true. It does get easier the more that you move through it and just have love and compassion for yourself through all of the challenges. And, just know that things may always come up. Like, we're human, but it doesn't mean that you need to take those things on or spiral into them or be mean to yourself or judge yourself through it.
100%, 100%. It's like the lesson, like I think a lot of people do this where something comes up and then we say, man, this sucks. And then, well, I feel bad about it because it's coming up, whether that's rejection or money blocks or, trigger, whatever. And then after we are feeling bad for a little bit, then we go into a deeper level of suffering and we go, man, I feel really bad about myself because I should be healed of this by now. Right. And it's that, it's a, I like to call it like the infinity loop of suffering. It's like now you're feeling bad. But now you're feeling bad that you feel bad. And like the lesson is not shame and guilt, right? This is not why this is here. So stop doing that, right? Like don't shame yourself. Like look at what's present in compassion. Compassion is one of the greatest medicines, most underrated medicines of this life. And we have to learn how to master it so that we do have safe container to grow. Because guess what? You're going to be challenged with obstacles the rest of your life if you're an entrepreneur. And are you going to see those things as a reflection of your worth and your reason to feel good about yourself? Because if you do that, you're never going to want to grow, right? You're never going to want to grow a business if every moment of your business that's challenging is followed by shame and guilt and frustration. Why on earth would you want to feel safe to, you wouldn't feel safe to build that. So compassion is how we create safety for ourselves to be on this path.
Beautifully said. One thing that I used to do like so much was I would make shit mean something negative about myself or my work. And like that was a huge lesson that I kept having to repeat and repeat and repeat. And I reached a point where I was so fucking tired of it. And I just decided, like, you know what? Like, I know my shit. I know my stuff is off the hook amazing. I have so many years of experience of embodied wisdom. And I'm gonna just have fun with this and really share from my heart. And if something doesn't reflect in the way that my human wants it to, I don't need to make it a story about myself, around that.
100%, 100%. I think about like I work with a lot of women who are like healing these same storylines too, where we all are. Everybody is. And sometimes somebody will be like, oh, are you mad at me? Like, you didn't respond to my message. Are you mad at me? And I'm like, no, I didn't see it. Right. And it's just funny, like our the way our brains work, like we really give meaning to things that isn't actually truth. And I think that you're right. It's like once we get to a point where we're so over it and we're just like, I don't want to do this anymore. We can choose a new perspective, and new perspectives are really the foundation for our transformation. Like, we need to have new perspectives in order to transform.
One little shift in perspective can change your entire life. Well, this was such a powerful conversation.
Yeah,
I feel
so
like we
good.
covered so many things and
Yeah.
it's so good. Is there anything else that you want to share with everyone before we sign off?
Yeah, I think about you a lot, Steph, and like the journey of my own purpose, because in the early days of our friendship, you said something that I just, it's always stuck with me. You said, I used to think that I was trying to find my purpose, right? You were like, maybe making crystal bras is my purpose. Maybe making crystal necklaces is my purpose. Maybe my courses online is my purpose. And you just, the way you put it was like, no, it's all of it. All of it is my purpose. I am my purpose. And I think I just really want to presence that beautiful reflection that you offered me so many years ago, because in my timeline now, right, like I have business focused courses, I have chronic illness programs, I have money mindset study, I have the HEAL program, I serve plant medicine, right? So there's like all these different things that I do, and I feel like that statement you offered me really gave me permission to know that that was okay. So I want to share that with everybody of like, you get to be everything, you get to be all of you, you get to express every facet of you, and the platforms you build, the communities you hold, the legacy you create should have space for all of the aspects of yourself that are important for you to express.
Amen to that. That was great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Where can people find you? I'll leave it in the show notes as well, but if you want to share like where you like connecting with
Sure.
people most.
Yeah, well, I'm always on Instagram, Lauren of Love. It's my favorite place to be. I'm really enjoying it lately. We're shifting into like wild, wealthy feminine season, so I get to talk about like money mindset and overcoming vulnerability fears. And so, yeah, if that's your jam, Lauren of Love on Instagram, and then also the Lauren of Love podcast and laurenoflove.com. So yeah, that's where I'm at. Come check me out. TikTok, I don't know. How do you feel about TikTok these
Actually,
days?
I'm getting into TikTok.
For
I
real?
don't
Okay,
really
maybe.
talk about it, but I'm on there. I have like maybe like almost 4,000 people, and
What?
I post on there pretty much daily. I just don't talk about it a lot. I feel like the community
It
on there is different and it's unique,
is.
and it's good. Like I haven't like gone full on, I would
Yeah.
say, but I feel like it's more real on there, like kind of like how you post Instagram stories, but like that's what TikToks are.
Yeah, today I did a thing on TikTok for the first time, and I'm like, I fucking hate this app. Like, that's the whole thing I did because I can't figure it out and I'm not in the vibe of it.
Well,
But
I actually just record everything on Reels, save it, and then upload it to TikTok.
oh, so you're just duplicating your content?
Well, sometimes I don't even post
Wow.
things that I post on TikTok on Instagram, but I just record it on Instagram.
Oh, okay, we need to talk.
Okay. We'll trade codes.
Yeah, we'll trade cards. I love you. Thank you for having me. This was so beautiful. Honored. So proud of everybody who's showing up for themselves in this lifetime. Aho, sisters, brothers, siblings. Thank you. So proud of you all.
Thank you, and thank you everyone listening. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, please be sure to leave a review on iTunes and hit the subscribe button. If you want extra motivation to manifest a life and business you're obsessed with, then find me on Instagram at It's Stephanie Sage and visit spiritualbossbabe.com. I love you so, so much, and I'll see you in the next episode.